This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasodi. Communicable diseases are the ones that often frighten people, with their tendency to spread rapidly through populations. However, non-communicable diseases are the ones that tend to sneak up on you, only hinted at through family history and encouraged through lifestyle. Now, Rosalind Yap, Council Member of the Nutrition Society of Malaysia, discusses how non-communicable diseases might be avoided if you embrace a healthy lifestyle. And she's here to tell me more and some of the misconceptions about whole grain. My goodness, we'll get into that in a short while. But if you have a question for Rosalind, send us a text message. The number is 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio. How are you today, Rosalind?
I'm fine, thank you.
You know, you are very much an academician, not so much of a practicing nutritionist, would you say?
Not so much. Well, that's true in a way, but I try to have a balance in terms of doing more community nutrition projects, because in terms of academic, you still do research. So mine is more to the community nutrition, where I have to collect data from people, mm-hmm. especially Malaysian population. So that was actually part of my doctoral research. So I actually talk to people, analyze about their dietary intakes. So it's not so much on just pure reading research articles,
right.
and so on. Yeah.
Okay. And we lack a lot of research and data in the country.
Yes.
What did you find from, you know, working on projects or researching projects like this?
Yeah, for part of my doctoral research, I realized that in terms of dietary intakes. And I did for three ethnic groups, basically the Malays, Indians, and Chinese. Mm-hmm. I realized that in terms of dietary patterns, we actually extracted the different types of dietary patterns. I realized that the Indians had more in terms of they consume more vegetables. Mm-hmm. But for the Chinese, it's more onto the meats and rice and noodles. But this is just particularly my research.
Yep. What was the population?
Sample size was just only 200 subjects, okay. in the Klang Valley. Yeah.
Okay. And do you think that has changed now? Do you think all ethnic groups seem to have a better awareness on what they should be eating and what they shouldn't be eating?
Yes, actually there is. We have done quite a number of nutrition promotion, and after talking to these people, I realized that they do know what to eat and what not to eat. But it's just that it's so difficult to practice. Sometimes it's due to eating habits, mm-hmm. because they've been adopting the eating habits for such a long time since they are young. So it's very difficult to change their eating habits, but they do know the information, definitely.
Yeah, it is true. I mean, I was looking through your guide on the wonders of whole grain, which you passed on to me just now. And there are a couple of recipes at the end of it. And one of the things that I always make at home, I know, is clay pot chicken rice, the Chinese style. I do it in a very easy way in that I chuck it all into the rice cooker instead of using the real clay pot. But it's interesting because this recipe uses brown rice. And brown rice has been something that I've been finding it really difficult to acquire a taste, a taste for. How do you suggest we start to change our way of eating and what we're actually eating?
Okay, very simple. In terms of trying to incorporate some whole grains, for like brown rice, you have to do it gradually. Because we are so used to consuming white rice, and then suddenly someone says that, hey, brown rice is good for you, and then you change it the next day, you buy a packet of brown rice and start cooking the brown rice and eat it. So your body is not able to accept, because you're so used with white rice. So one of the ways is mix it, okay? Prepare it, probably half brown rice and half white rice, mix it together so that you get used to it. So that's one of the ways. Gradually increase. Don't do it on a sudden basis.
But therein lies the challenge, isn't it? Brown rice requires a longer time to cook, whereas white rice cooks really quickly.
Correct. In fact, brown rice requires more water compared to white rice. So I would actually recommend, in terms of a small rice cooker, mm-hmm. for the brown rice, and then a white rice.
Right. So cook it separately,
yes,
and
separately.
Not together.
Yeah.
Sure. One of the things you work on are whole grain projects.
Yes.
Why the interest in whole grain?
Well, the thing is, like, not many people know what's a whole grain. You know, there's a lot of misconception there, where, you know, especially like in terms of like bakery products, when we see breads, you know, they label it 7 grains, multi-grain, but it doesn't mean that it's whole grain. You know, you see like 7 grains, but there are sunflower seeds, and everybody thought that sunflower seeds are actually a type of grain, which are not, they are just seeds.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it was really interesting to actually start on this project on whole grains and how it can actually help in terms of non-communicable diseases too.
Yes. Yeah. We'll come to that in a short while, but just to go through whole grain products and misconceptions, it's interesting because in this Wonders of Whole Grains booklet that you passed on to me, the products that are not whole grain was rather surprising to me because I always thought things like chickpeas was whole grain when it isn't.
No, it's not.
It isn't. Surprisingly, popcorn is whole grain.
Yes.
Popcorn. Yeah. And we always thought popcorn, you know, sort of was like junk food more than anything else. But I suppose you're advocating popcorn with nothing on it.
Well, not to say nothing on it, but, you know, try to make your own popcorn. It's actually quite easy. Mm-hmm. You have homemade popcorn and just add a little bit of salt.
Right.
A little bit. Pinch of salt. and then there you go. You have popcorn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, as you said, acquiring a taste all over again for popcorn.
Yes.
Brown bread. A lot of us tend to think that when, you know, we see something that's brown, it necessarily is whole grain when it's not.
Yes, you have to check the ingredient list. So the term whole has to be there. For example, whole wheat or even oats. Some certain products like oat bran, that's not whole grain. Okay, because whole grain, it has to contain the entire grain seed.
Mm-hmm.
So which is the bran, the endosperm and the germ. So oat bran is just basically the bran.
Okay.
Yeah.
So wheat germ is not whole grain.
No, it's not.
Wheat bran is not whole grain.
No.
I've been making a lot of mistakes here. That's for sure. But isn't chewing a problem when you have a whole load of whole grain in whatever you're eating?
Not really, actually.
I almost feel like a little rabbit trying to go through this whole grain. It is. What's it been like for you? How much do you incorporate of whole grain into your diet?
Okay, it's recommended at least half of the grains, like 4 to 8 servings. So that means half will be 2 to 4 servings per day. But that's difficult to interpret. So what I usually do is, like, for my breakfast, I usually have whole grains. So I've selected whole grain crackers, whole grain cereals, and definitely whole oats. So I usually have that for my breakfast and for my snacks. Yeah, so like for example, whole grain breads, or even like you can even make your own smoothies using oats, whole oats,
mm-hmm.
you know, blend it together. So at least 2 meals, like one major meal and one snack as the whole grain, and then you're able to meet half of the meals of the day.
The requirement.
Yeah, correct.
What's the relationship between non-communicable diseases and nutrition for you? And you have a passion for that, really.
Yes,
working
definitely.
Working with communities on this.
Correct. In terms of non-communicable disease, let's say if you were to define it, because it's non-transmissible and it's non-infectious. So that means I can't, let's say, for example, touch wood, if I have diabetes, I can't pass it to you right now by touching you. Okay, so I can't pass it from person to person. So the etiology of non-NCDs or, you know, non-communicable diseases, there are two major risk factors, which are the modifier risk factors and the non-modifiable risk factors. So I'm just going to focus on the non-modifiable risk factors, which are more to the behavioral type, like, mm-hmm. for example, diet and nutrition, which is one of the main components. So we have realized that in terms of past research, there's a lot of studies that show that unhealthy diet or physical inactivity or alcohol abuse or tobacco use, high tobacco use, is linked to NCDs. So that is the relationship. So it's important to actually, you know, adopt a very healthy lifestyle, including, you know, a healthy diet, mm-hmm. nutrition, and, you know, physically active in order to prevent such diseases.
Okay, yeah. It's quite obvious that as Malaysians, we're not leading the healthiest lifestyle. What do you think is contributing to all of this?
Well, there's food all the time, and it's reasonably cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you can, at 4 a.m., you can just go out and purchase food. There's food all the time. So that's probably one of the reasons why, you know. And in terms of physical activity, you know, I would think, like, there's not enough of resources out there, you know, especially for women. It's not really safe. I mean, I walk every day out in the park, and I don't like going to the gym because I like going to the park. But sometimes I always think about the safety.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We just had a lady who was killed and robbed in Bukit Gasing.
Yes, correct. Yeah, so it's not safe.
It isn't.
Yeah. So it's quite scary, for especially for women. I mean, we want to exercise, but we can't. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I go up to Gasing all the time, and when, you know, to think that a lot of people up there, to think that people are bold enough to come up and do what they did, it's quite alarming. When you see NCDs are definitely growing at an alarming rate in this country. Heart disease, heart attacks kill, is the number one killer amongst men and women in the country, in the world actually.
Yes, in the world.
Diabetes. What else do you see going up at a, you know, pretty fast rate?
Cancers is number two, actually. A lot of people don't know. In terms, CVDs, cardiovascular disease, is top, as mentioned just now. Second is actually cancer. So we have, like, you know, breast cancer, colorectal cancer. Yeah, those are actually increasing.
Okay, so how important is this healthy living in terms of preventing NCDs?
Well, as mentioned just now, one of the modifier risk factors of NCDs is nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, an unhealthy diet has been associated with increased risk of NCDs. So basically, that's the relationship.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you want to just go through, like, heart disease, diabetes, and the impact of certain nutrition for these risk groups?
Okay. So in terms, like, for prevention, okay, prevention of diseases, how to actually prevent such diseases is basically adopting a healthy diet. Okay. So one of the ways is, I realized from looking at the recent surveys, we had the National Health and Mobility Survey in 2011. It is surprising that the fruits and vegetables consumption is extremely low. We recommend around 2 to 3 servings. Okay, 2 servings of fruits per day and 3 servings of vegetables per day. Only 20% of the population, this is a nationwide survey, which is recently, only 20% met the recommended servings. So we need to consume more, because this is where all the antioxidants come in order to prevent such diseases. So that's one of it in terms of a healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about method of cooking?
Definitely one of them, in terms of putting too much oil, fats, or even, like, in terms of sodium, salt, and sugar. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. If anything that is excess, definitely will contribute to such diseases.
Right.
Yeah.
We know saturated fat contributes to a whole lot of issues. High, you know, salt intake, high sugar intake, all of that doesn't do very much for you. But what kind of nutrition or food would help make the medication or treatment for those with NCDs more, you know, efficacious?
Well, basically, there is no superfood. Basically, we usually advise in terms, because I'm not a dietitian, okay, so we focus more on prevention of diseases. So if, let's say, someone is actually do have diabetes, we actually recommend to have lifestyle modification. For example, if it's diabetes, that means high sugar levels, blood sugar levels. So we recommend them not to consume those simple sugars, like sweets and so on, which will actually increase your blood glucose levels much higher.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of physical activity, that's important. It actually helps to decrease your blood glucose levels.
Okay.
So those are the lifestyle changes.
But when you're already on medications, right,
mm-hmm.
Some may be under the impression that you can still eat normal because you're on medications. It will help, right? So how much does nutrition really play a part?
That's not true, actually, because in terms, you have to work together in combination. That's very important, because even though you're on medication helps to manage it, but if you keep eating, you know, unhealthily, in terms of, like, if you know you have diabetes and you still consume high sugar foods, it's just going to confuse your body, because you keep increasing the blood sugar levels, and then the medication just kicks in on a certain time only.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be in combination. That's really, really important.
Do you advise patients to modify their nutrition intake when they are, you know, diagnosed with NCDs?
Not really, because as I mentioned just now, I work more on prevention, mm-hmm. and not so much on therapeutic. Yeah.
Okay. And what have you observed based on prevention? Are Malaysians open to changing their diets?
Yes, actually, there are people that would like to change, definitely, until something happens, usually, yeah. So, for example, in terms of overweight and obesity, you know, they know they're overweight, so they usually, because people always come to me, you know, it's like, design a diet for me. Yeah. So basically, in terms of that, I usually advise them, you know, you need to write a food diary. Mm-hmm. And then from that, I can work on it.
Right. Yeah. Coming up, we'll find out what is the importance of this food diary, because I remember a fitness trainer telling me mm-hmm. to start a food diary as well. And we'll find out the benefits up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Meera Sivasodhi. We're trying to prevent non-communicable diseases by you altering your diet in a more, more positive way. With me, Council Member of the Nutrition Society of Malaysia, Rosalind Yap. She's going to help us come up with a food diary now. Rosalind, how does a food diary really help?
Well, we have to do a dietary intake assessment. Basically, from a food diary, we're able to know what are the foods that you usually consume so that we can advise you on what to add on. So another thing is like able to see, like particularly in terms of energy, proteins, carbohydrates, what is in excess or what is in deficient. So that's the help, the usefulness of a food diary.
Okay. Yeah. And are you advising all of us to have a food diary so we can go back and reflect on it?
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yes.
When you say 2 to 3 servings of fruit and vegetables, mm-hmm. How do you measure a serving?
Yeah, it's very difficult because it's different from every food groups. But in terms of vegetables, you're talking about green leafy vegetables. Okay. One serving is basically a half cup of cooked vegetables, green leafy vegetables. Mm-hmm. But now the next question is, how much is a half cup?
Yes.
Right?
How much is a
okay,
cup?
Okay, so I always tell people, like, you know, use your fist. Okay, so your fist represents 1 cup. Okay, so half a cup would be half of the portion.
That's not very much.
Yeah, that's not very
much. So it is achievable.
It is achievable, but you are recommended 3 servings.
Per day,
yes.
Which is fine,
yeah,
really. Okay, right. That's interesting. We have a question here from Joe, who wants to know if you could give him a recipe for smoothies because Joe is allergic to milk and sugar.
Okay, basically in terms of smoothies, instead of using cow's milk, you can actually try soy milk or rice milk since you're allergic to cow's milk. Mm-hmm. So in terms of sugar, you can use the natural sugars from the fruits in order, like smoothies, yeah. So that's instead of adding sugar into it. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Noel actually is asking, and the food pyramid has come under a lot of debate, I have to say. He's asking, what are your thoughts on the food pyramid versus MyPlate? I'm not sure what MyPlate really is, but have you heard of that?
Yes, I've actually heard. Actually, MyPlate is quite interesting. And I do teach my students about it, or even people, because sometimes it's easier using MyPlate instead of the
food pyramid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I usually tell them, for example, a plate, okay, how much food in terms of like vegetables and your protein and your carbohydrates. I always recommend probably 1/3 of it should be your proteins, mm-hmm. and then you have the other 1/3 would be your vegetables and your rice. Okay, but the ultimate goal is half of the plate as your vegetables, load with vegetables, and then in terms of your the other half, 1/4 would be your protein source and then your rice.
Your carbohydrates.
Yes, correct.
Okay, so initially we can work with a third first.
Yeah.
But your thoughts on the food pyramid?
My thoughts on the food pyramid is actually, I think maybe the tricky part is the servings, as you mentioned earlier. It's like how much is one serving. But if you just look at it as a whole, that we need to consume more of the grains, particularly whole grains, half of the grains. And then next will be your fruits and vegetables, and then your proteins and your dairy products. And the least will be your fats and your sweets. So if just think of it as a pyramid that, you know, those that's not so good, like for example, the sweet fats are the ones that you should consume the least. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, but mm-hmm. The MyPlate thing sounds a lot easier to, you know, in your mind, a lot easier to implement.
Yes, it is, definitely. Yeah. Right.
We have another question here from Irene, who's asking, how about the quality of water consumed? Does that contribute to non-communicable diseases?
I'd like to apologize because I don't really know much about in terms of any difference with the different types of water. But of course, one of the Malaysian dietary guidelines, you know, in terms of prevention or living healthy, we still need to consume like, you know, 6 or 7 glasses of water per day.
That's 2 liters?
Yeah, approximately.
About 2 liters?
Correct.
It's funny because communicable diseases can actually pass through water which is not of proper, you know, quality. Or when I say it's quality, I'm talking about in the filtration process and things like that. So in terms of floods and, you know, in countries where you hear of typhoid and things like that, that could be a problem, but not so much in this country, actually. When you talk about, you know, all of us go grocery shopping, Rosalind, how would you like to give us some tips as to how we can buy more efficiently that will contribute in a positive manner to our health?
Okay, first you need to make a food list, a grocery shopping list. That's very important. So before you make a list, you must have some kind of plan. For example, to check your stock. Do you have still vegetables? Do you have your protein source? Mm-hmm. You know, do you have enough snacks? Okay, so put it in your list, you know, in terms of like you require vegetables, you require some form of protein. So if you have a plan in terms of menu planning for the entire week, so at least you can estimate what you need to purchase. So that's very important. You need to make a food list before you go shopping, or else, you know, when you go shopping and then you get so excited and then you see whatever, you know, that is attractive, and then you start, you know, and not go according to
something else. I've learned, never go grocery shopping when you're hungry.
Yes, correct.
You come back with the most unhealthy food, many of which will end up going to waste because you don't end up you know, using them.
Yes,
up. Actually, before the food list, you need to decide what you're cooking in the whole week.
Yes, correct. That would be good.
And then move backwards from there. Vitamins and supplements, Rosalind, are being marketed in a big way in this country. Do we really need it?
No, actually, in terms of in a nutrition point of view, we always recommend supplements, because the name supplements is supposed to be supplementing your diet. But that's depending on which stage of life. For example, during pregnancy, you know, or in terms of infants, you know, or older adults, or, you know, when a particular disease, that's when you require. But if you're healthy, you know, we do not require supplements. We should actually always recommend that you should consume your foods. I mean, obtain your nutrients from foods. That's really, really important, because our body is designed to digest and absorb nutrients from food. You know, we don't like direct like consuming supplements. Yep. And then in terms of that, it could be it will lead to toxicity. Yeah, because usually when it comes to supplements, it's usually higher than is required. Mm-hmm. Recommendation levels due to bioavailability. So, you know, you might not even require that particular vitamin or supplement, but, you know, you're basically doing it because someone says so.
Yep. Yeah. But reality is, most of us don't eat a balanced diet, right?
Correct.
So, with our hectic schedules, I mean, most of us are not eating.
Yes, that's
right. We're not getting enough of the nutrition that you've mentioned.
Yes.
So, if we are going to supplement, then is there a guide?
I would still not recommend that, you know, because it will become a very easy way out. You know, it's like it will continue to not consuming a balanced diet. You know, that's not the solution to it. Learn to have a balanced diet. Mm-hmm. That's much better in terms of long-term basis. Yeah.
As you said, based on the community projects you have actually worked on, a lot of us are consuming more protein. Mm-hmm. As opposed to fruits and vegetables.
Yes.
Our intake is, what, 20% of fruits and vegetables?
Yes,
as you mentioned earlier.
The recent survey, yes.
But other things do contribute towards our eating habits. And what comes to mind is really healthy oils. Are we using oils that are healthy enough in our cooking?
I would like to apologize on this, because I'm not really familiar in terms of the oils research. Because usually when it comes to there's a lot of conflicting results, which oil is better, you know, different types of vegetable oils. What I would really comment about in terms of oils is not to use it in excess, that's all. Because even though a particular oil is shown in terms of research is very good for you, but using an excess of it is still not good. Mm-hmm. So it has to be comes to having a balance. Yeah.
Right. So yeah. Think practically when you are using the oil.
Yes, correct. And not use it into an excess amount. So even though it's good for you, mm-hmm. anything that is excess is not good for you.
Right. But the Mediterranean diet is something that a lot of people are advocating today. Grains, as you said.
Correct.
A lot of grains, fruits, mm-hmm. vegetables, mm-hmm. fresh fruits and vegetables.
Correct.
What about olive oil?
Well, it's good in terms of it's good for in terms for the, I mean, it has shown some research that it's a good type of oil, okay. But in terms of affordability too, you have to think about that, and availability mm-hmm. in Malaysia. Okay, I'm sure we have some really good oils here too. Yeah.
Okay. It said that if you take 10,000 steps daily. That could constitute one's exercise for the day. How was this number actually arrived? I mean, do you have any idea?
Well, I'm sure there's some scientific evidence regarding these 10,000 steps, or else the Ministry of Health will not launch this particular guideline. Basically, in terms of 10,000 steps, it's equivalent to almost 8 kilometers of walking.
8 kilometers a day.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. It is a
guideline. Is that too much? Is that too much?
Well, I'm sure there is some evidence, as I mentioned just now, that it will help in terms of prevention of several diseases. But achieving that will be quite difficult. Mm-hmm. So it's just used as a guideline.
Right.
Yeah. But it doesn't mean that if you did not achieve like 10,000 per day, you know, it is not so good.
Okay.
As long as... I think the important point is... you need to be physically active.
Sure. Yeah. Joe wants to know again, to have that list of whole grains, and how do you make that smoothie? Let me just go through. Whole grain products are whole grain breads, mm-hmm. Whole grain cereals, brown rice,
correct.
Whole wheat pasta, mm-hmm. corn or popcorn,
yes.
Whole oats, whole wheat or whole grain crackers, millet mm-hmm. Is also a whole grain
yes.
product. So for that smoothie again, would you have a recipe for us?
Yes, actually... for Joe, he could actually log on to Nutrition Society of Malaysia website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is this particular booklet on whole grains is available for free.
Exactly.
You can download it. So the recipe is there.
I'm looking at it right now. I would suggest you try the lemongrass clay pot brown rice,
yes.
which I'm going to go home and try today.
Okay, that's good.
Try getting used to brown rice.
And
what would you like to leave us with, Rosalind, on preventing non-communicable diseases by embracing a healthy lifestyle?
Okay, my message, basically, there's a lot of information out there, but whether it's reliable or not, what's a reliable information? So what could be a good way is, if you're active in Facebook, log in and look for Nutrition Month in Malaysia. You'll get a lot of information there.
Okay.
Okay.
And Noel, just to before we leave, he says, any movement equals steps. So if you wear a pedometer and you dance, that equals many, many steps. And that's one of my guests actually said, some governments actually do have community projects where they give out pedometers where you can track the number of steps. And that's, in a way, motivation for people to achieve maybe that 10,000 steps. Maybe we should think about doing that.
Yes.
Thank you very much
You're
for joining
welcome.
Me. Rosalind Yap, Council Member of the Nutrition Society of Malaysia, on preventing non-communicable diseases by embracing a healthy lifestyle on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.